Great to have you with us as well. I wasn't sure quite what to do with this service because we've got the football team here and it's their awards service. Also, we're saying goodbye to Tom, so I was kind of keeping that in mind. And also, I'm aware that we've been doing why do we do different things in church life? So I was kind of thinking, well, how do we fit into that or not, as the case may be. I actually tried to get rid of this sermon and I asked Tom whether he would like to come and preach. But he said he was too busy. So it was a bit of a dilemma, really, which way to go. Well, I've fixed on the theme, so here we go. Let's just sit back and watch this video clip, which will introduce the theme of this morning. That's a reason to take the bus, apparently. I want to look at team. I've called this team works. Not teamwork, but team works. Team actually works when we work as team. And I sense that fitted well in terms of the football team. So some of what I say hopefully will be applicational for you, but also for us as church together, but also for you, Jess and Tom, as you go and join another team, maybe, wherever God leads you, to think about this whole area of team. So what I've done is I've taken each letter of team and given it a point. So that means we've got 4 points, if you can spell. T-E-A-M. So the first one is T. Have we got the T, which is... Oh, no, that's not worked. I think you've got the wrong font in there. Okay. So it may not quite look right as the PowerPoint comes up, unfortunately. Well, the first one, I think you can read that, though. The first one is T for together. When a person chooses a team, one of the things that you choose is togetherness. Actually, sometimes you wonder whether actually people do choose togetherness when they choose team. I came across this quote. He said, "I love teamwork. I love the idea of everyone rallying around together to help me win." As you know, I'm a big Liverpool fan. I apologise for the football analogies, but I think on Football Sunday I deserve a few. But I'm a big Liverpool fan, and I've loved watching Raheem Sterling play for Liverpool. But I'm one of those who has the view that Raheem needs to move on. He seems that he has fallen out with the team and is interested, in my view, in himself and achieving what he can achieve. So my view is that I think he should move on from the team and go and play for Man City if he wants, or somewhere else. I've played in many teams, all kinds of different types of teams. And normally there is one or two personalities in the team who actually you do wonder whether they've turned up for them. Whether they've forgotten it's a team game. As you know, I coach a team, or part coach a team of young people, 15-year-olds, so gradually getting older as the years go by. And there are one or two of them who are the kind of prima donnas. They think they are the messies of this world. If you don't follow football, I'm sorry if you're completely lost. at this point, but I shall continue regardless. They think they're the greatest footballer in the world, and that whatever they do, they think they're going to do it on their own. Got one particular player who is a very good footballer. He's excellent on the ball. He dribbled round everyone, but he'll dribble round everyone for 5 or 10 minutes until he loses the ball. But actually, if he never passes the ball. He never looks up to see where his teammates are. And in fact, actually, when he gets the ball, you can consciously see his teammates step back and go, that's fine. I won't say his name, just in case you know him. But it's not my son, by the way, just in case you're sitting there thinking it is. And they kind of step back, and you can see them consciously stepping back and thinking, well, now he's got the ball. Now Fred's got the ball. Everything's going to be okay. Fred will just go around everyone and score. Of course, Fred invariably doesn't score. In fact, most of the time he loses the ball, or when he does shoot, it goes flying over the net, or over, not over the net, over the bar, because he makes one fundamental error. He is so keen to see his glory that he takes his eye off the ball, he lifts his head up, and of course the ball then goes up in the air and misses the goal. I'm sure those who play football are sitting there thinking, yeah, I know a player or two like that, maybe. Don't point, that's not fair. When we choose team, many of us are very keen to be part of a team, we choose togetherness. And when we choose togetherness, we note this, that there is no I in team. There's no I in team. I do note, though, that there is an M and an E, but they're not together. So there's no me either in team. Team is about us together. It's not about me, it's about us. And why is it about us? Well, when we are us together, there is variety. There's different abilities and different skills. What you can do well, I can't. But what I can do well, perhaps you can't. In fact, Mother Teresa said this. She said, I can do things you cannot. You can do things I cannot. Together, we can do great things. So each member of the team becomes incredibly valuable. And that reading that we heard talked about the stomach that often is forgotten, isn't it? It's not a visual part of the team, but it is a valued part of the team. In fact, actually, it's an essential part of the team. Without the stomach, you know, what are we? Nothing. Dead, probably, without the stomach. The stomach becomes an absolutely crucial part. I came across some information about bees this week. I can't remember how I came across this, but I've been reading about bees. Bees are fascinating animals. I don't know if you know much about bees. And we're just about to go into a heat wave. And for bees, heat is a big problem. So bees overheat, they can actually, you know, it can cause a problem for the hive, and particularly the young bees. And do you know what bees do? When the temperature gets to a certain temperature, they team together. In fact, they team together all the time for lots of different reasons. They're very much a team animal. But when it's hot, half of the bees gather apparently just outside the hive. And Andy's nodding his head, so it looks like he's knowledgeable about this. And as they gather outside the hive, they flap their wings and they create a draft. And by creating a tunnel of draft, they draw in air and move the air through the hive. And actually, by doing this, they can actually lower the temperature of the hive by 10% against the ambient air temperature. Isn't that remarkable? But every bee has to play their part. And they don't just do it, and they don't all day all day doing it, because obviously they're going to get tired. So what they do, the other 50%, some go off to collect water, and they bring water back into the hive to cool down the hive, and others are collecting the nectar, doing their normal work. And then what they do is they move around, and they rotate to make sure that each person isn't getting worn out, and each person? So I've fallen in love with bees so much that I've made them human. Each bee does not wear out, and that each bee has a chance to rest. The team goes further. The team achieves more. The team actually protects the individual. When we are together, we are stronger and better together. 1 Peter 4:8-10 says this, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards to God's grace in its various forms. So the first letter, T, is together. The second letter is encouragement. See what this one looks like. Probably as bad as the last. Oh, no. Yeah, well, he sorted it out. He sorted it out. Well done, Tom. Well done. Encouragement. In each team, there are unsung heroes, aren't there? There are people in the team, and we kind of heard of one that stands with his umbrella in the rain. It's wet, never gets onto the pitch, although I know he'd love to be on that pitch, playing like he used to play. Getting soaking wet, shouting and screaming at the lads, and doing his job, down with the manager. But there are others as well on the team. You think of the teams that you've played in. There'll be people that have played for years and years and years, played a role, never scored a goal. They've done their 50 or 100, never won an award. They weren't outstanding, but they were there, doing a job, working hard, often behind the scenes in an unseen role. You know, in football, there are two positions in the football team that I never wanted to be picked for, and eventually had to humbly accept as I got older. It's the left-back and the right-back position. You know, Tom used to play in the centre of the field, and gradually they sort of say, no more, just gravitate you to the edges of the field. Now, of course, the full-backs, the left-back and the right-back, can have a massive impact on the game. But on the whole, they're on the edge of the game. Normally, they're old men like me and Tom, and then the right midfield players are the fastest players, or left midfield players are the fastest on the field. So we've got no hope there either. So you're kind of doing a hopeless task on the edge of the pitch. All the stuff is going on in the middle. The big tins of this world are there kind of doing their stuff, bringing the ball down, making it all happen. And little Tom and I are over here just wondering when we might get the ball. Occasionally we might, but often we don't. And of course at school, you know, they used to make fun of the left back, didn't they? You know, the left back is the one left back in the changing room because this is the place no one ever really wanted to play. People are often looking for the limelight, and not many people want to step into that place of that isn't visual, that isn't encouraged. How do you encourage those people? For a team to work, those who aren't visual so much need to be encouraged. I was reading about Eric Cantona. Eric Cantona, you may remember, was a very eccentric football player. Apparently, when he was playing for United in the early days, Alex Ferguson called the lad. They were going to this premiere of a film, and it was a black tie event, so they all had to turn up with black suits and black ties. So Cantona turns up in a white suit. Just imagine it. Alex Ferguson at the front of all this team, and there is Eric Cantona following in all white. Not only was he all in white, but he wore red trainers. Can you imagine it? You would have said this eccentric fella was not a team player. And actually many would look on him on the field and wonder actually whether he was a team player. But when you read or find out about Eric Cantona's life, apparently what he was known about in the squad was his encouragement, particularly to the younger players. He would spend time with the younger players, encouraging them in their difficulties or their weaknesses, and encouraging them to be better footballers. We need such people, don't we, in a team? The people that are the encouragers, and they may be the ones that get the limelight, they may be other ones, or they may be the manager or the leader, but we need, in fact, actually, I think every person in the team needs to be an encourager, to look over the shoulder and to look alongside each other and say, come on, together we can do this, you can do this with us. There was a great example of an encourager, of course, in Scripture. His name was Barnabas. And a few weeks ago, Paul and Barnabas, but particularly about Barnabas, how he was an encourager of new leaders. He would search out leaders. He searched out for Paul, or Saul as he was then called, and he discovered him. And he bit Saul, and Paul became one of the greatest leaders of the early church. And it was Barnabas that sought him out, who encouraged him. He said, come and work with me, Paul. Come and travel with me. Come and do the things that I am doing. And he did it also with a guy called Mark. And he gave these people chance over chance after chance of encouragement to be part of what God is doing, to be part of the team. Let me encourage you to be an encourager wherever you are, be it in the football team, be it in the church, be it in your workplace, be it in the home, to be a person who encourages. Thirdly, A, accountability. To choose team is to choose accountability. It's a word that perhaps we're not so keen on. Most of us, I guess, don't want to be held to account. We don't want someone to say, actually, you could do it better this way, or you could do it better that way, or you need to focus more on this area. There's a fairly famous story, and you may have heard it, but if you haven't, I'll tell it to you. If you have, I apologise. There was a company, a very successful company, they were doing really well, and the board of directors decided to celebrate their success that they would have a boat race. And they decided they would have this boat race, and they would go to one of their competitors, and they would invite their competitors to come and race them in a kind of Oxford-Cambridge kind of boat race. So they bought these two vessels, these two boats, and each company accepted this. A big day was prepared for. Everyone came in the right attitude. The women wore colourful summer dresses, floppy hats. There was a band playing. You know, everything was just right. The sun was shining, and this boat race began. As the boat race began, the company that had hosted this suddenly realised that their boat was the slower boat. The competitors were off straight away, and they were never caught. And by the end of the race, they had lost by 11 lengths. The day was ruined. This was meant to be a day of celebration. An inquiry was set in place. And 3 months later, a committee was put in place to have a look into the boat race. What went wrong in the boat race? Why did we lose the boat race? 3 months later, they came back with a preliminary report. And this is what it said. They had 8 people rowing and 1 coxswain steering and shouting out the boat, said the report. We had 1 person rowing and 8 coxswains. The chairman was furious and insisted that the committee spend some more work, money and time researching this matter. And later, about 4 months later, they came back with a recommendation. Do you want to know what their recommendation was? Our guy has to row faster. That's not the kind of accountability you want to hear, is it? When we choose to be a team, we choose to be accountable to each other. We choose to stand alongside each other, or sit alongside each other, or to play on the same pitch as each other, or to be together as church. And we're accountable to each other. There are responsibilities that we hold. We hold the responsibility to be there. If we're part of a sports team, to train, to get fit, to do better. We have the responsibility to humbly play our part, to do the very best that we can, to take instruction, correction, advice from those who organise, manage or lead, so that actually together we go further. And there are moments as team that you have to sit down and you have to assess and you have to say, why didn't we do that well? And you have to openly, honestly, man up, as some people use the term, to face the truth and say, actually, we can do better. And that's true in sport, that's true in life, and it's true in church too, is it not? That there are times when you have to say, actually, we didn't do very well. And actually, we want to do the very best. Why? Because God did the very best for us. And so we want to give our very best back to Him. So if we choose team, accountability has got to be part of the package. And then the very last letter, M. And you may be wondering what M is, unless it's appeared on the screen and told you. It has, is it? Just taking it away again now. It's all right, you can put it up now. Mercy. Merciful. Now, you may be surprised at that word. And when I sat down and thought about this and was trying to think of an M to fit in, I was thinking, Lord, there must be an M somewhere. That is really important to teamwork. And then suddenly God said to me, mercy. And as I stopped and thought about it, I thought, this is probably the most important word in terms of teamwork. The one we probably don't stop to consider in terms of teamwork. Do you remember Robert Green, the England keeper? The 12th of June 2010, England were drawn to play the USA. They took the lead and were winning 1-0 until Clint Dempsey, the USA midfielder, took a long-range shot that should have easily been saved. But instead, Robert Green, in the words of Bob Wilson, made a basic schoolboy error, a howler, and let the ball in. We drew that game 1-1. Robert Green, for all football fans, will always be remembered for that moment. That split second when the ball bounced before him and he fumbled in it and went past him, and we could still see his arm reaching desperately for the ball. And the whole of England went, oh no, you idiot. Mercy. On August the 10th, 2012, the England 4x100 men relay team were preparing for their qualifier for the Olympics finals. This was an excellent team. In fact, they believed this team, this running team, was going to be the best ever. They, in fact, finished that qualifier faster than any England relay team had run, in 37.9 seconds. But sadly, they were disqualified. Adam Jamil had set off too early. And because he had set off too early, Daniel Talbot couldn't catch him before he had actually reached the line. And so the baton was passed over after the marker. Jamil was distraught. Malcolm Duncan looked furious after the situation. They were absolutely devastated. He knew he had made the mistake. But in the interview afterwards, Malcolm Duncan expressed the team's feelings in his response. He said this. He said, "We're gutted, because we probably missed out on a medal. They probably would have got at least a bronze, but it was possible they could have got a gold." Then he went on to say this, "I know we like to play the blame game in this country, but I'm not going to do that." He went on to say that these two young guys are outstanding young sprinters who represent a bright future for our sport in England. See, the issue with team is that one day it will go wrong. In fact, most days it goes wrong. There are moments when you lose. There's moments when there's failure. There's moments when it all falls apart. There's moments when someone doesn't do their part as they should have done. And you feel frustrated with them. And Malcolm Duncan could have gone into that interview and said, "Well, I ran my bit well. They should have got it right. These young, inexperienced people shouldn't have been placed where they did, where they were, and we would have been into the Olympic final." But he didn't. Instead, what he did is he stepped back and said, "We're team." And there are moments when we fail. And in those moments of failure, we do not look at each other and say, "It's your fault, it's your fault, it's your fault." What we do is we pour out mercy on each other. Or for another word, which doesn't begin with M, but it's the same, we forgive each other. But I prefer the word mercy, actually. I think mercy is more of an attitude than an act. We stand together. We support each other. We forgive each other. And there have been many times on the football field when I have been the weak link in the team. And when I last played competitive football, you know, in the last few seasons, there were times when a goal was given and it was my fault. And there were moments when the team, I know, I could feel the fury of the team on me. "You stupid old man, what are you doing on this pitch?" And then there were other moments from other team members who, even in my old age, said, "Just encourage me, forgave me, said it's okay, we all make mistakes. Just pick it up and we'll go again and we'll try even harder next time." Mercy is absolutely crucial for the effectiveness of teamwork. No team comes together and gets to the finishing line with great glory and perfection without mercy as part of what they're about. Supporting each other, running alongside each other, encouraging each other, and saying it's okay. When you fall, we'll pick you up and carry you to the light. There's a great psalm, Psalm 41. I'm going to read some of the verses, not all of it, but some of the verses to you. That speaks about the value of mercy. Blessed are those who have regard for the weak. The Lord delivers them in times of trouble. The Lord protects and preserves them. They are counted among the blessed in the land. He does not give them over to the desire of their foes. I said, have mercy on me, Lord. Heal me, for I have sinned against you. All my enemies whisper together against me. They imagine the worst of me, saying a vile disease has afflicted him. He will never get up from the place where he lies. Even my close friend, someone I trusted, who has shared my bread, has turned against me. But may you have mercy on me. Raise me up, that I may repay you. I know that you are pleased with me, for my enemy does not triumph over me. Because of my integrity, you hold me up and set me in your presence forever. If team is going to work, really work, either on the sports field, in the workplace, in the church for certain, mercy, the mercy of God, needs to be upon us. And as he pours his mercy upon us, so we need to pour his mercy onto others. I know what it is to fail. You know what it is to fail. You know what it is to be in that place where you've made the mistake, and to stand alongside someone else who also has made a mistake. Caring and loving them is the way Jesus did it for us. It's the way that God does it for us as he pours his mercy on us. I love team. Do you love team? I love team. I love being part of a team. I love the fun, the companionship, the challenge. Yes, I love the competition as well of team and all that kind of thing. But team at times is difficult. To choose team is not always easy. Sometimes I look at a situation and I think it's easier just to do it myself. But when I step back and draw others in and encourage others to walk with me, and I'm encouraged to walk with them, what I discover is that the task is done far better and more people achieve much more. That's true of all of life, isn't it? Let's pray together as we come back to the Lord and thank him for his goodness. Lord Jesus, we are very aware that when you came to this earth, you drew a team to you. You could have done it yourself. You had all the power, all the might, all the gifts, all the skills, all the glory of heaven on you. You could have been the star. You could have been the one. But instead, you called, well, to some extent, failures to you. And said, come and be part of my team. Come and be part of what I'm doing. And today you're still doing that. You're still calling people to come and be part of the greatest team of all. A team that belongs to Jesus. Lord, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for believing in us. Thank you for encouraging us. Thank you for drawing people together. Lord, teach us to be like you. Not longing to be the ones who stand on the top, but just the ones who encourage. The ones who are merciful. The ones who want to be amongst us. To be part of that team. And whether that team wins or loses, Lord, teach us what it is to stand together for the glory of your name.